Eldon Davis is a lifelong Christian minister who has preached the gospel all over the world and was an inspiration for those who created the famous Rawhide Boys Ranch in Wisconsin. Now Eldon Davis with his special podcast on the roots of American exceptionalism.
And hello, this is Eldon Davis, pastor and teacher of the Church of the Narrow Way, and the founder and president of Wittenberg Ministries. Welcome. We've got a terrific message today, something that's going to just bless your heart and bring joy and peace and hope and all the comfort that you need. I'm going to title it The Wonder of Wonders. You and I wonder all the time. But a lot of times our wonders take us in directions we shouldn't. The seven classic wonders of the world are the great emperor of Great Pyramid of Giza, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and the statue of Zeus at Olympia, the Temple of Artemis of Ephesus, I've been there, also known as the Temple of Diana, and the Mausoleum at Halicarnassus, and the Colosseum, of Rhodes, and the Lighthouse of Alexander. Seven classic wonders of the world. The seven natural wonders in the United States are Death Valley. Of the Mojave Desert, it's the lowest, driest, hottest place in North America. And then there's the volcano in Hawaii, there's the Monument Valley in Utah, and the Niagara Falls of New York, the Redwoods of California, and the Grand Canyon of Arizona, Mammoth Cave in Kentucky, and the Florida Everglades. The seven natural wonders of the United States. But let me share with you today the two greatest wonders in all the history of mankind since the creation of the earth. To wonder is a person or a thing who is astonished, who is awed, admiration. To wonder is the sensation and feeling of surprise, of awe by something strange, unexpected, something awesome and inscrutable. So the two great wonders in the history of the world are in two words, just two words, Christmas and Easter. That's it. Christmas, God loved us so much that he sent Christ Jesus. Easter, Jesus loving you, dying on the cross, paying for all your sins, and coming alive on the third day, making a place for you in heaven. So today we would like to look at the six wonders of Easter. The first one would be Good Friday, the cross. The second wonder is who nailed Jesus to the cross? Who really killed Jesus? The third great wonder would be the resurrection. And the fourth, the ascension. Jesus Christ going back to heaven and preparing a place for us. And the fifth wonder would be his second coming. We'll probably get through three of those today. So let's look at the first one, the cross. On Good Friday, let me go through the chronology of the events of the crucifixion. You need to follow them closely, and later on you want to get your Bible and to read them. We'll start on Thursday night. So on Thursday night, he gathers his disciples together in what's known as the upper room in the city of Jerusalem, there to celebrate the Passover. Can't go through all the events that happened there, but around 11 o'clock, he left with his disciples, all but the one who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, and that was Judas. They make their way through the city of Jerusalem and going out the gate into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there, Jesus, leaving all of his disciples except three, Peter, James, and John, goes further into the garden. And then he has them wait there when he, going further into the garden, begins to pray. And he prays, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup be eliminated for me." He prayed three times. When he came back, each time the disciples were fast asleep. And it was around 1 o'clock in the morning that here came Judas, that missing disciple, along with the high priest and all the soldiers coming to arrest him. And when they see who Jesus is, and Judas kisses him and points him out, lo and behold, they all fall to the ground. This whole group, these soldiers, fall to the ground, get back up, and Peter becomes a musketeer. He steps in front of Jesus, he takes out his sword, and he whacks off the ear of Malchus. Jesus admonishes him, pushes him off to the side, reaches down, picks up the ear, and puts it back on Malchus. And then the soldiers arrest him. Can you imagine? They tie him up, and they haul him off to be tried. Now it's around 1:30 in the morning. It's on Friday, Good Friday. And Jesus is going to go through six illegal trials. They take him to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. Annas, the former high priest, is taken before Jesus, and there he is tried, and from there he goes to Caiaphas. And the high priest tries him, and the Sanhedrin, and they don't know what to do with him, so they put him into prison. And they keep talking back and forth. During this whole time, Peter's in the outward court. And the little girl says to him, you're one of the disciples. And he says, no, I'm not. And three times, Peter denies him. About 3 a.m. in the morning, they bring Jesus out of prison. And he stands once again before Annas and before Caiaphas and before the Sanhedrin, that is the court of the Jews, and he is found guilty. And they decided to crucify him. But they don't have the right to do that, so they have to take him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. So at 6 o'clock, around 6 o'clock on that Good Friday morning, he stands before Pilate. And Pilate doesn't know what to do with him. He says, I find no fault in him. To appease the Jews, he had him beaten 40 times, believing that that would appease them. But now they yelled, crucify him. And so he thought, well, Herod Antipas is here. He is the one who is in charge of Galilee, from which this Nazarene comes. And so he sends him over to be tried before Herod. Now, Herod has been waiting to see Jesus for a long time. He wanted to see some tricks, some magic. And so he taunts Jesus, and Jesus says nothing. And that makes Herod very mad. And Herod then has him beaten 40 times and sends him back to Pilate. Now it's 7 a.m. in the morning. Here is Pilate. His wife has warned him, have nothing to do with this man. Have nothing to do with him at all. And Pilate doing all he can to release him. But they yell, crucify him, crucify him. And then Pilate makes a horrible mistake. He takes and washes his hands. And he said, his blood is not on me. I am innocent. And he turns them over to the Jews who are yelling, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Now we have to stop here just for the moment. The Jews are saying, hey, his blood be on us, be on our children. And that's exactly what's happened. Anti-Semitism has been in the world for a long time. It continues to increase because the Jews refused to accept Jesus as their Messiah. From there, then, he is taken off to be crucified, goes down through the city of Jerusalem, which is known as the Via Dolorosa, the Way of Sorrows. And on the outskirts, going through the gate into the countryside, not far from the city, there he is crucified on a hill called Golgotha. Golgotha means the place of the skull. And the people are screaming and spitting at him and calling him every name you can think of. And as he stumbles through the way of the Dolorosa, the Jews, the Roman soldiers see a man called Simon, and they grab him and says, "You carry the cross." And Simon of Cyrene carries the cross. As you read the Gospels, you would discover that Simon had come to know and believe in Christ as his Savior. By 9 o'clock, he's on the cross in agony. And he is yelling, he has seven sayings from the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." One of the thieves was taunting Jesus along with the other one. And then one of the thieves came to his senses. He looked over at Jesus and he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Wow. Then he looks down and he sees his mother and he says to John, "Behold the woman, behold your mother." Then it becomes at noon. There's darkness, there's an earthquake, there is the thunder and the lightning, and from the cross he yells out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." This was prophesied 1,000 years in Psalm 22. "Eli, Eli" is in Hebrew. "Lama sabachthani" is Aramaic. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And so he's hanging on the cross. The soldiers are mocking him. The people are mocking him. "If you be the Christ, if you be the King, if you be the Savior, if you can save others, save yourself. Come off the cross and we'll believe you." And Pilate had a sign placed above the cross. It was entitled, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." It was written in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. So you see, the cross is a reality. The historical details are there to be examined. Some other interesting facts are the centurion who looked up and said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." While Jesus was hanging on the cross, down in the temple, they were making sacrifices. And the lightning and the thunder tore the veil, the curtain between the holy and the holy of place, holy of holies, from the top to the bottom. And so we emphasize the cross of Jesus Christ. And the cross was done so that you and I could have all of our sins nailed to the cross, and that Jesus Christ would be the one who would pay for all of our sins. But the question, who killed Jesus? We'll be right back to let you know who killed Jesus.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com. Stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
The preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness, but unto those who believe it is the power of God unto salvation. On the cross, Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins. So who killed Jesus? Was it the bad guys? Those who murder and rob and lie and cheat and steal? Couldn't be the good guys like Billy Graham or George Washington. Surely not somebody like Abraham Lincoln. Oh, I have the answer. It was those who were born in sin. Now, if you're going to die, and you are, then you're born in sin. If you're born in sin, then just maybe, well, beyond maybe, you were the one who crucified Jesus. So let us deal right now with our sins, mine and yours. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the book of Romans, we read, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seek after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asses under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and their feet swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the ways of peace they have not known, and there's no fear of God before their eyes. There is none righteous, no, not one. So now, if you, dear listener, would understand how wretched and miserable you are. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Your eyes are always coveting. The tongue is an unruly evil and full of deadly poison. And the Bible teaches that nobody can tame the tongue. So we have to realize, hey, I was the one who crucified Jesus. I was there that day. Yes. Were you there when they crucified our Lord? I was. You were. We all were. You were on his heart. You were on his mind. Were you there when they crucified the Lord? Listen to Johnny Cash.
After the crucifixion of one Jesus of Nazareth, Roman soldiers and guards cast lots or rolled dice for the only piece of property that he had in the world, and that was the robe, his scarlet robe. And it was one Roman soldier, legend and tradition has it, that carried the robe away. And for years after that, he was like a man who had lost his mind. He would turn to this one and that one, and he would say, "Were you out there when we crucified him? Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? my Lord.
Yes, I was there, in his heart and in his mind, and I fear it. I just tremble when I think about it. But I'm going to ask that you understand you were there. There is no way we could understand the grace of God, the love of God, the salvation that we have through the cross, until we understand and keep understanding that we are miserable, wretched, decadent sinners. So few realize we're born in sin. Life is over in a moment. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we shall walk into victory, into eternal life. We will see that precious thief to whom Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Or we shall see Judas, who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And if you don't know how wretched and miserable you are as a sinner, you have betrayed him for more than 30 pieces of silver. And so right now, understand, you are a sinner. Listen to Romans chapter 5. For those of you who haven't confessed Christ, listen. For those of us who are born again, listen again to what we've been redeemed from. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were sinners, may I say despicable, rotten sinners, filthy as can be, ungodly, Christ died for me, for you. Ah, much more then, having been justified by his blood, here is the victory of Sunday. We are saved from wrath, the wrath of eternal torment, hell, through Jesus Christ, who died and paid for our sins. For if when we were enemies, now you and I openly rebellious against God, were reconciled to God through the death of his dear Son, much more, having been reconciled, we are saved by his resurrection, by his life, his ascension into heaven, his preparing a place for that. And not only that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that this is wonderfully and remarkably true. So listen to the difference between the death of Jesus Christ and ours. We are humbled in death, but he humbled himself. We are subject to death, but he became subject to death. We are offered in death, Jesus offered himself in death. We surrender to death, it takes us. Jesus embraced death. Death could not take him. Death could come as close as could be to him. So it wasn't the crucifixion that killed him. It was he actually literally took your sin, your death, your eternal separation, and put it on himself. We relinquish our spirit, but he dismissed his spirit. Our death is passive. Again, his death was active. We were born to live, but we die. He was born to die, but he lives. Our lives are numbered. His life is eternal. And our death is the final triumph of the flesh over the spirit. His death was the eternal triumph over flesh. Amen. We are defeated by death. He defeated death. And so he died on the cross, not because of the cross. He disengaged his spirit and his body and gave up his life in death. And 3 days later, he engaged it in his resurrection. And so we can say, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are now more than conquerors who believe in the Lord. So the third great wonder is the resurrection. And so on Sunday morning, he arose from the dead. Let's look at some of the chronology, some of the events that happened on that first Sunday morning, on that first resurrection day. Early in the morning, way before daylight, there are five women who gather together in Jerusalem, and they are met with others. They make their way through the city, the dark day, morning, through the gate, and on their way to Golgotha, again, the place of the skull. It is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were called the sons of thunder. And there's Mary Magdalene, from whom Jesus cast out seven demons. There is Salome and Johanna. And Luke, in his gospel, says, plus others. So here are five and perhaps 8, 9, 10, or a dozen ladies, women who are making their way to the tomb. And when they get there, they are utterly amazed. They can't believe it. The tomb is open. They look inside. There is no body. Somebody came and rolled away the stone. It had to be 4 or 5 husky Roman soldiers or somebody, and stole the body of Jesus. And the women are all crying, and they leave, and Mary Magdalene waits behind, crying, wondering. And she looks up, and she sees what she thinks is the gardener. And she says, "They've taken my Jesus. I don't know where he is." And the gardener speaks, and it was Jesus. Mary Magdalene was the first one to see and to know that Jesus rose from the dead. And she ran as fast as she could back to the city of Jerusalem, through the streets and up into the upper room where Peter and James and John and 10 of the disciples have gathered together. And she is saying, "He's alive, he's alive, I've seen him, he rose." And they could hardly believe it. And Peter and John begin, they run through the city, Mary as fast as they could after them. And when they get to the tomb, John is there first, he stops, and Peter goes running into the tomb, and it's empty. He rose from the dead. The next one that Jesus appeared to were the two men on the road to Emmaus. These two men were wandering and walking to Emmaus, and Jesus appears. And he begins, and they're saying, "Oh, we are so sad. We have lost our loved one." And Jesus appears to them, and these two come to acknowledge that Christ is their Savior. And then Christ appeared to the other woman. They were the third ones to know Christ as Savior, as the resurrected Lord. And that very same day, Peter also, Jesus came to Peter. And Peter saw that he was alive. Can you imagine that encounter? Peter, who denied vehemently, swearing and saying, "I don't know him," 3 times there at Caiaphas' palace on the night of the crucifixion. And then Jesus that day appeared to the 10 disciples in the upper room. In the book of Acts, it says that Jesus Christ rose from the dead by many infallible proofs. I've given you 6 of them. There are actually 17. For after he appeared to the disciples in the other room, he appeared to 7 disciples at the Sea of Galilee. Oh, I forgot one. Before that, 7 days later, on the second Sunday, he appeared to all the disciples in the upper room, and this time Thomas was with them. The 10 disciples did all they could to persuade Thomas, doubting Thomas, that Jesus rose from the dead. And Thomas said, I will not believe until I see him with my own eyes. I will not believe until I take my hand and I put it into his side where the spear of the soldier went, until I put my fingers into the nail prints in the palm of his hands." And Jesus appeared to Thomas and to the other disciples there in the upper room. And Thomas looks at him and falls to his knees, and he says, "My Lord and my God." And Thomas knows that Christ rose from the dead. Later on, he appeared to 500 men and women. So that's about 1,500 somewhere in Galilee. Later on, he appeared to James, the first son of Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph had more than 6 children. They had 4 boys. James was the first one. Joseph was the second one, Simon, and then Judas. Those were the half-brothers of Jesus. And James was the elder, and he was always mocking Jesus, always taunting Jesus. He never believed that Jesus was something extraordinary. He must have been either jealous or angry or mad at Jesus. Can you imagine that encounter? And James came to know that Jesus was the Messiah. He became a leader at the church, one of the pillars in Jerusalem. And then he appeared to Stephen, the first Christian martyr. After that, this is after his ascension, he appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. And four other times he appeared to the Apostle Paul. So you see that the evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead is indisputable. When you study the chronology of the cross, you understand the resurrection, you understand the appearances, you see the radical change in the disciples from despondency and despair and confusion to overwhelming ecstasy and joy, then you know that this evidence is more, now this is a big statement, more than the evidence that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States. How can anyone not believe? So you and I are going to be raised from the dead. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, we have this description of your resurrection. We're going to read it to you in a moment out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you have your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is the resurrection chapter of the Bible.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
And so we know by the Word of God, we know by the evidence, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of the Lords. He is the blessed and only hope. He is the one that loved you so much that he came to planet Earth, born in Bethlehem, ministered, and gave his life for you and I, that we may have absolute certainty of eternal life. To know that he will guide us here and now, and before long, because all of our lives are short, we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We will take our last breath. We will pass into eternity, and we will be in heaven again with that thief, with that centurion. I'm so happy, so excited to see that centurion, and to see the disciples, to see Peter, James, and John. For he is alive. And so the core of the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read it to you. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you take your firm stand, by which also you are saved, as you continue to hold fast and believe in him. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, according to the Scriptures, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Peter, and then of the disciples, and after that he was seen over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time. And after that he was seen of James, who is his half-brother, and then by all the disciples. And last of all, he was seen by me, records Paul, as one who was born out of due time. And so there is the evidence. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then we of all men most miserable. Then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then all of our preaching, our belief, our hope is vanity. It's in vain. And that which we believe, the Bible and our faith, is also in vain. And we are found witnesses of God who are false. We testify and believe and proclaim that Christ died and paid for our sins, that he rose on the first day. And in fact, if he did not, then we are of all people the biggest fools. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, again, our faith is futile. We are still without hope. We are still in our sins. And then also, those who are our loved ones, those we buried with this hope of the resurrection, they are perished, and there's no hope for us to see them again. Listen to this statement. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, and there's no resurrection, we of all men are most pitiable, most foolish. Ah, but if there's a resurrection of the dead, then you and I will have a new and beautiful glorified body. Let me read it to you. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41, it says, there's one glory of the sun, and there's another glory of the moon. There's another glory of the stars. And one star differs from another star in all of its glory. There's also, in the resurrection of the dead, great glory. For the body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. As the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last man, Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. So let's pause and go over that again. Read it out of 1 Corinthians to rejoice. Your body is full of corruption, but it's going to have incorruption. You and I are sown in dishonor. But our bodies are like an albatross. We moan and we groan and we ache, hoping and waiting. Yes, for the pain to be taken off. So it's sown in weakness. It is raised in eternal power. It is sown a body that is natural. It is raised in a body that is eternal, that is spiritual. A spiritual body does not mean it doesn't have flesh and bone. It means it has flesh and bone. Your very body, you will be raised. You will know you. You will see you. You will see your loved ones. And you'll know that you are a spiritual being, meaning you are now animated not by the blood, but by the Spirit. Let's read on. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised up. For this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. When this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that is saying, O death, where is your victory? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, but the gift of God is eternal life. Listen to verse 57. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the absolute certainty of the blessed hope that knowing that Christ died and paid for our sins, trusting only in Him as our Savior, knowing that He conquered Satan and hell and death, that He rose again on the third day, He ascended into the heavens, we shall live and be with Him forever and ever and ever. Now you can't have a greater hope. You can't have greater joy than all of that. Let me read to you from the book of Acts, chapter 1. Here we have all the disciples and over 1,500 to 2,000 people gathered together on the Mount of Olives. And as they gather together, He speaks to them and He tells them, I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. And when He has spoken these things, and while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him into the heavens out of their sight. And they looked steadfastly into the heavens, and as He went up, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner. Wonder of wonders. Let me leave with you the two greatest wonders, Christmas and Easter. And know that now you can wonder beyond doubt that you shall live and reign with Christ forever and ever. So wonder is being amazed, astonished at these wonderful truths. Wonder, ponder them often. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.